This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
For a number of years now, we've been doing a back-to-school series, talking to area school superintendents as the school year gets underway for the fall. We continue the series with Superintendent Jeff Clark out in Oakland at the Oakland School District. Jeff, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having us in. I appreciate it.
So, how is the school year going so far in Oakland, and when did you begin?
We started the day after Labor Day, and it's been a great start to the school year. Kids have came in excited to be here, and staff's very excited to be back in the building with kids, and the energy's high, the vibe feels real positive, and things have been very good so far.
Any interesting things or crazy stories from those first few days?
Nothing real crazy. Things have been, again, like I said, they've started off on a good note. We are really full. We have lots and lots of kids this year, so trying to arrange doing that. And then we've also, I guess the crazy part for us has been working around all of the construction projects that we've got going on. Had quite a few going on this summer, and so we were trying to batten a couple of them up and get them done right before school started. So trying to manage all of that and our lower kind of field by the track and football field area looks like a massive construction zone. So we do have some paths cut around it with a whole lot of security fencing up to keep the kids away from all the action.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that since you mentioned it. Remind people what the projects are, what's going on out there construction-wise.
Well, on the smaller end, I guess, we finished up our second seismic project this summer on our 5-6 annex hallway of our middle school. So we turned a couple of locker rooms that we had in there. We seismically rehabilitated the building and turned those locker rooms into classrooms. And we're able to move our two fifth-grade classrooms out of the modulars into the building, which was awesome. And we finished that up. We did the first half of a seismic rehab grant on our high school gym. We did redid our lobby area and then redid all of the lower roof and re-sided the upper part of the roof and got all the seismic structuring in. And then next summer we'll finish the second phase of that, putting a new roof on the top part, new lights and a new floor. So we got both of those projects done. The biggest project that we have going on is we were fortunate enough to pass the bond the May before last, and we got all of our planning done, and we're in the midst of building our middle school gym to replace our Washington gym that we use from downtown for our middle school sports. So we're in the midst of building that gym up on campus, and we have most of the locker room entryway area is getting really close to being dried in, and we've got a crane coming next week to raise the tall walls around the outside, and then we'll get rafters up in there and keep going. So we're making great progress there. And then in conjunction with that, because we put that gym up at the middle school between our 5-6 hallway and our new bleachers, we had to we did a land swap with one of our neighbors, and we are upgrading the field behind our old bleachers to use as our practice field and our discus area and our t-ball fields and so forth. So we're moving about 25,000 yards of dirt to get that put in place and get it up to par and get it fenced in. So and then next week we are breaking ground on our softball. We're tearing out our softball backstop and dugouts and rebuilding those and getting those up to where they need to be. So lots of action going on in a lot of different areas. So a very exciting time for the district and the community as we try and do some work to upgrade our facilities. And the best part about that is, you know, we've been able to utilize three different seismic grants at $2.5 million each and be able to use the bond. So it hasn't been a lot of district money, per se, to do most of these projects, which has been nice.
You've got to feel more like a construction superintendent right now. Is this the most construction activity the district's maybe ever had at one time?
Without question, it's the most we've ever had going on at one time. And it was a very stressful summer without question, meet weekly on all of those projects and make sure that we were making headway, and then always having the scare of, hey, we got to be done for school. We have kids coming back. And more importantly, we have teachers coming back the week before, and we need to have their classrooms prepared. We need to have them ready to go. So a big shout out to our maintenance and custodial crew. They did a phenomenal amount of extra work this summer to try and get the cleaning of the things done that we normally do, but also help pitch in and stay on top of all these projects. So a very exciting time, but also a very stressful time.
Wow. So a lot going on. People might want to drive by and check that out. So you mentioned the enrollment. How is that looking so far compared to last year?
We're up about 40 students from last year, K through 12. We currently have seven of our grade levels are closed to out-of-district transfers because we are just full. We had to hire a second, we hired a 2-3 blend teacher because our second and third grade, we had already closed it, and then we had some families move into the district that had second and third graders and some homeschool students that had came back, and those numbers just blew up on us. So we ended up, the week before school started, a teacher to come in and teach a blend class to try and reduce those numbers a little bit. So we're definitely at capacity, and that's a great problem to have, but it also is a problem that brings other issues to the table with it.
Yeah. Now, any other big new hires or any new programs in the district this year?
We're starting our second year of our after-school program, which we're really excited about. We got the Ford Family Foundation Innovation Grant the year before last, and we did all the legwork and got it in place last year, an after-school program that we do 2 days a week on Mondays and Wednesdays from 4 to 5:30, and we do it in all three buildings and offer kids the opportunity for homework support and some remediation time, but we also do some fun activities. We do some outdoor activities, art, crafts, we did some small engine repair. We did a variety of different things for the kids on a month-by-month, a different theme each month, and we're excited about that. So we're starting that in the first week of October this year, so we're getting a much, much bigger head start to it this year. So we're really excited about getting that going.
Now, if I remember right from previous interviews, you spent your whole career in the district, right?
Yes, I am starting my 32nd year in the Oakland School District.
So, I mean, it is common, just like any other profession, for people to move around some. Oakland is a smaller district, so explain why you've chosen to stay there this whole time.
Oh, boy, that's a hard question to answer. I think the simple answer to it is that Oakland is just such an amazing community and school district, school community to work in and school district to work for. We've had some great, there's just so many great, phenomenal people that work in all levels of education there, with the teachers and the IAs, the counselors, the office managers, maintenance, custodians, lunch program. We just have so many great people, and the community just embraces the school so much. It's an honor to be a part of. And I mean, when I first got into education, I was passionate about teaching, but I was also very passionate about coaching. I kind of felt like I was going to follow a coaching path and started a smaller school and move up. And I've had various opportunities over the years to leave, and I just have not found a place that struck me as a better place than Oakland. And I'm very thankful to have been here this long. It's a unique experience because I've taught and coached many kids that I've had, and it's just neat to experience that as a community and see generations of families go through there and to be able to be part of that experience.
All right, back with part two, Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District. In a moment, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. The Back to School series continues Monday. Superintendent Robert Freeman of the Glide School District will be with us. Superintendent Jeff Clark out running around to the construction fields of the Oakland School District with a lot going on out there today. Wanted to shift gears a bit. First of all, we've seen a lot in recent years after the pandemic about mental health concerns and those being bigger issues in schools. How do you feel like that applies? How are the students in Oakland doing?
I mean, they're doing okay, but yeah, the struggles, I think the mental health issues had been building up to it, but man, the pandemic just took those and just magnified them so much. And just so many families are struggling in so many different areas. And so we do everything we can to offer as many different supports as we can. We try and really do a wraparound approach to get to make sure that everyone, all our families and students, know that we're there for them in all aspects, and we're going to do everything we can to help them be successful. But mental and emotional problems and issues are a real thing, and everybody handles those a little bit differently, and it definitely puts an extra stress on the staff trying to manage all of those parts while still educating and doing all the things we need to try and do in the classroom.
What are you able to do in Oakland in terms of specialized staffing on that level?
We brought in some behavioral health people. We have an intern at the middle school. We have a behavioral skills trainer and a behavioral instructional assistant all at the elementary school to try and manage that. And then beyond that, we opened a DLC classroom for some of our higher needs students this year. And then we also we spread the wealth amongst our staff. And one of the things that we really try and do with our staff is to make sure that we, you know, reach out and look at all of our students and make sure that all of those students have at least one, if not maybe two, adults in each building that they're able to connect with, and that we kind of try and go above and beyond to connect with them and support them and their families as best we can.
Now, Oregon has a new cell phone in school rule coming out. Not actually a law, but an executive order out of the governor's office that came, I think, late in the spring, goes into effect the beginning of the year. Districts have to have a plan in place here fairly soon. How are you going to address that in Oakland?
Well, we've already addressed it for the most part. We already had a pretty stringent cell phone policy of no cell phones in class. We did not monitor cell phones in between classes and during lunch. We allowed students to have them at that time. And this executive order now blocks that part out. It has went pretty well so far. Students have, I think they understood it coming in. It's not something that, it's not our rule. We just make it clear it's a rule that we have to enforce, so we're going to do what we can to support and do that. But we want kids to be able to be in a stress-free environment, and phones, as convenient as they make life and as helpful as they are, they also add to the stress of life. So having students put them in their locker when they get to school and then get them out of their locker when they leave school is something that we're asking them to do, and for the most part, they're managing that pretty well.
Do you feel like after this has taken effect for a while, you're going to see a long-term maybe improvement in distraction-free learning?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. It is, you know, I think everyone could take a second and look in the mirror and look at themselves and see how much that they use their cell phone during the day and how much they're on there and how much work productivity we're losing in all areas of life because of our cell phones and that instant gratification that they can get doing things. So I do hope that it allows our students to be able to function a little bit more without distractions. But I think the more important piece of that, aside from just cutting down on the distractions and allowing them to be able to learn better, is to be able to hopefully improve social interactions and get kids talking with each other and interacting with each other instead of just focused on their phone and not talking to other people. I think that's something that cell phones and COVID together have really overemphasized of not interacting with other people, and those social interactions are so important on a daily basis. So we're hoping that the lack of cell phones or accessibility will help improve those.
Well, and I've only gotten 8 messages since we started this interview, so it seems to be the way it goes for adults and kids alike. What about future plans for the district? What are some things? I mean, you have a lot going on with construction, but are there other things, programs or other areas you would like to add into the mix?
Well, I think that we're, right now, while we're still focusing on all the things we always focus on, good community, good social skills and learning and all of those things, we do have a long-term plan with our construction of, we're starting planning for our seismic on the actual high school building. We have applications that are going in December for our elementary cafeteria and our elementary school. So we really would like to, within 5 years, have the entire school be the entire district, all the district buildings be seismically rehabilitated and in good shape in that sense. We've been using a focus in our with our HSS money, our high school success money. We've been continuing to expand our metal shop and wood shop, and we just purchased over the summer a sawmill that we're able to bring in, and we're hoping to be able to start milling some wood and trying to increase our metal shop and wood shop their ability to produce goods and sell those goods and kind of get those kids learning that business model of how those things work and continue to focus there. And then we're hoping to also make the shift now that we're getting ready to do our seismic project on the high school. We would like to remake our home ec room and possibly add a culinary CTE program for students to be able to start growing some skills in the culinary area.
Do you have any partnerships with the college?
We do. We do. Actually, we take part in their Friday academies that they do. Just shout out to their new president, Rachel Pockerank. She is amazing at the things that she does. She has made so many great things happen for the college over there, and it's made partnering with us as the school district so much better. We have a ton of kids that take EOP classes over there, which is great that they're able to take college classes, but even more so to be able for them to go over on those Friday academies and take CNA classes or firefighting classes or mechanic classes, and then be able to leave with an actual certification in their hand to go out and work in those areas is amazing. So Umpqua Community College has grown into an amazing partner for Douglas County Schools.
What is your school board working on this year?
They're working on trying to just essentially stay ahead of the game, to try and stay on top of our construction projects, stay on top of all of our the new accountability bill that's coming that came out of the legislature, and make sure that we are continuing to grow in those areas and hold ourselves accountable for the high standards that we set for ourselves and our students, and make sure that that we can hit those goals. And we have an amazing school board that does a good job of being there in a directive but supportive role to support us and try and provide us as educators in the district what we need to be successful.
32 years in, you've seen a lot of changes. What changes do you see on the horizon for education?
Oh, man, that's a hard one. Education, I think, is at a pretty difficult crossroads right now with the continued growth of online education, which, has, I'm sure, a lot of positives to it. But I think it also exemplifies in not a positive way the kids just being tied to a computer and doing their things there instead of socializing with other students and doing those things. So I don't know what education is going to look like in the next few years. I think accountability is good. I think trying to find it and do it in a way that doesn't add more stress to the schools is a difficult road to find, because the reality is our educators right now are stressed out. There is a lot of pressure on them from a lot of of ways. Public education as a whole has kind of taken a beating through the media, and the federal government's kind of has an interesting take on their view of education and what those supports should be. And so it still comes down to what we do in our district and what we need to do to make things better.
All right, Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District, thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me, Kyle. I very much appreciate it. You do a great job on your show.
All right, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.